Hello, listeners and viewers of VPOT. Welcome to a brand new episode of Insider's Talk. Today, we have a very special guest, Mrs. Shweta L. Srivastava. She is the former CXO at DataClick, has worked with Pepperfry and Yatra, with over 25 years in leading teams that design and ensure excellent customer experience. We are very delighted to have her on board. So welcome, ma'am, and would you like to have a brief introduction about yourself?
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. You have already given a good introduction of myself. I'll just add to it. So yeah, I'm Shweta, and I have over 20 years of experience working mostly with e-commerce companies, having specialization in customer experience. And I have been working with companies like we've already mentioned, Tiatra.com, Pepperfry and DataClick. And yes, I'm very happy to be here today and happy to answer all your questions.
So again, thank you very much for taking time out of your, I would assume, very busy schedule to have a podcast with us. So let me go on to the first question. So in the face of increasing customer expectations as the CXO, how do you ensure one stays ahead in adopting and leveraging new technologies to deliver seamless customer experience?
Absolutely. I think it's a very relevant question, right? When you say increasing customer expectations, we all know this is ever evolving space. And just to give you an example, and before I answer your question, a little context on it, how customer expectation is evolving over a period of time. So if you remember, you know, back in days, when I was a kid, I used to see my parents, you know, going to grocery stores and buying it. So they used to plan it in advance. So for the entire month, you know, when my dad used to get salary, you know, that some budget will be allocated to get grocery, and they'll plan it in advance. Then this, you know, the whole era of internet came and the boom happened, and so many apps they came. And then our expectation was that I will just, you know, browse some of the products and I'll buy my groceries online. Then the problem became of quality, right? When I was going and buying from the grocery stores, quality was ensured because I could pick and choose. With online shopping, the quality was, not possible. But then some of the brands that came up and they solved that problem for us as well, right? And they, now we can actually buy online, which are farm fresh and freshly plugged and all of that. Now the expectation of customer has changed. Now customer wants grocery in 15 minutes, and that is also made possible. So what I want to say is it is ever evolving space, and due to internet boom and so much of information available, customers are more aware and they demand more and they want it when they need it. So yes, it is very difficult to catch up. And as CXO, how do we ensure that we are ahead of the curve? There are a couple of things that, you know, one can do. Be aware of all the technology trends, all the trends that are, emerging in the market. You can do it with attending some of the conferences, be part of the network where you can go and share best practices, share what you are doing as an experiment and what is working, what is not working. You can follow a lot of reputed publications. There are survey reports available where you can see what are the trends. It is very important to be aware of latest technology trends or latest trends emerging in customer experience space. So that is one way of keeping yourself ahead or at par with, you know, the changes happening. The second is your own research as a company. So allocate some of the resources to, you know, to be able to do experiments and POCs. As they see these trends emerging, they should be able to tap some of the things which works for your brand, and, you know, do experiments or POCs to understand whether it is useful for us or not. So some research work should be done in every organization, not at a very high scale, but at a level where they can experiment, right? Third is, of course, customer listening. You cannot discount that. continuously listen to your customers, listen what they are saying. Most of the trends you will pick up from customers itself. Like I said, now customers, they want products in 15 minutes, right? So their customers know. And through customer listening, you can also identify pain points, problems, and you can solve. You can have that customer backward approach, right? So that is the third thing. I think the fourth will be very important, to be agile in your approach, right? Have processes and methods in the organization that enables you to make changes fast, right? Don't be tactical in your approach, be strategical in your approach, so that you are ahead of the curve. Lastly, I'll end by saying that be always curious, right? And you never know what is the next phase or next wave of technology on the horizon. So yeah, that's how probably you can keep yourself abreast of all the changes and be ahead of the curve.
Sure, being curious is something we will definitely keep in mind. So we'll dwell one by one, starting with the first option of how to leverage technology as such. So from your experience at Yatra, Pepperfry, or even TataClick, could you tell us how data and analytics helped give a customer seamless experience? And also, talking about how dynamic the customer expectations are, like they want 15 minutes delivery now, and how technology even coped up with that, could you tell us how, do you have any particular roadmap for a sustained growth in the future?
Sure. So I think answering your first question, somebody long back told me that when there is a data smoke, there will be business fire. Right, so your business will boom if you have, people are talking about data in the organization or doing something about it, right? And you all must have heard one thing, everyone is saying this, data is a new oil, right? I would like to refine it a bit and say it slightly differently. Data is a oil, but technology is the engine driving it, or data analytics is the engine driving it, right? So information is available, but what do you do with that information is very important, right? And then converting that information into meaningful set of data, making sense out of it, and what are the gaps that comes from that data that you want to address, and what are the insights largely that comes from the data that you want to address, and then fix it for your customer. So the entire data analytics piece has played a very significant role in addressing a lot of customer experience related issues. Now with technology, it has become even more possible, to look at data, a very large set of data, and cull out insights from it. Earlier it was not possible, because earlier it was very manual, right? Customer insights can come from anywhere. Customer is talking to your customer service agent, or writing an email to you, talking to you on chat, or just giving a product review, or taking a NPS rating. The insights are coming from everywhere. Or customer feedback is coming from a lot of channels, right? What do you do with that data? Technology has made it possible, or data analytics, what you're asking me, has made it possible to look at that data in a very meaningful manner. And now with, you can actually analyze millions of data in, few seconds, and know what your customers are saying and actually do something about it. So yes, it has definitely have an impact on the way, customer insights are managed now. Addressing your second question on what is a roadmap and how do you make it more sustainable, I think it depends on largely on organizations, how they do it. I believe cross-functional collaboration is very, very important in this. How everyone in the organization comes together to make it happen, right? And that requires, cultural shift, a change in culture in the organization where everyone is focusing towards one objective of doing something for the customer which will improve customer experience. And when that happens, I think then you can have a sustainable roadmap, which means that it is not only something that one department has to do it. Everyone in the organization, all teams have to come together and do it to meet the customer experience agenda. So that is something is in my mind is very important to make it sustainable, else it won't happen. It is not a functions responsibility. Customer experience is a responsibility of everyone in the organization.
Okay, so coming to the point of like doing research and stuff, how do businesses implement, let's say like, for example, like if you want customer experience, if you want to improve that, you need to do some psychological research. If it's like a product of something, you just do a R&D and then you get like some number, some data, and then you will able to quantify that. But when it comes to customer experience, most of the times it will be qualitative, it will be intuitive, like what the actual customer wants. So it's hard to quantify those things. So how does business actually research those things? Like how does the R&D look when it comes to customer experience?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking this question. Bringing the whole psychological aspect to customer experience is very useful. So I'll tell you one project that I did with one of my previous stints. Right, it is exactly basis, you know, how do you use consumer behavior in, you know, understanding it from customer psyche point of view rather than just data points. So we onboarded somebody who is by profession a psychologist, right, to look at our data, look at to review and analyze all our customer conversations. And we took inputs from the psychologist on various personas that she saw in, you know, while analyzing all the customer conversations. And she told us that there are various customer personas, some 6 or 7, that you should look at, that will give you a cue of how you should handle this particular customer, right? What we did, it was a very, very interesting project, one of the best projects that I really enjoyed working on, where we actually created the personas, and then we created processes or kind of, you know, scripts to respond to those personas, every persona in a different way, right? And how does it help? So if you are a customer who is a neutral, right, not very angry, not very happy also, right, you can have just adult to adult conversations. And what are the words, what are the, you know, cues you will use to converse with that customer? We created that. But if you are a customer who is like very angry, you may have to switch to something else and respond in a different way. So this project enabled us to understand customer personas and then act according or respond according to customer personas. So this is one project that we did, basis the research that one of the psychologists, professional psychologists, helped us in understanding our customer better. And many brands have done this exercise, but mostly it goes backseat, right? Because we now have technology tools, AI, ML, which can generate, you know, insights in a second. So people don't invest that much on research where it takes time. But the results that, you know, comes out of it are wonderful. I think I would suggest companies to do these research also in parallel. It gives great satisfaction in knowing, you know, behavior of our customer, giving a lens of a psychologist and getting into a deeper understanding, which you're saying R&D, and then developing your action plan accordingly.
Yes, I agree how you mentioned creating a customer-centric culture requires a buy-in in all levels of the organization. So could you explain on the importance of collaboration between departments, like let's say IT, supply chain, or customer experience? Is how important is that to deliver a unified customer experience? And also, as a former CXO, how do you suggest, how Tata Click and Tata Luxury caters to multiple different segments, how hard it is to foster a cultural shift within the organization?
Right, it is said that as individual, you can be a winner, but as team, you can win the championship, right? And it is true in every environment, whether it is sports or it is a corporate environment. I cannot emphasize enough on the importance of every department coming together to meet the customer experience agenda. The collaboration is very important, and it starts with having tenets which kind of guides entire organization towards it. So tenets are, these are guiding principles. I suggest every company should have to start with customer experience tenets. What does customer experience means to the company, right? And these tenets should be created in collaboration with all other departments, not in silos. And everyone should sign off and say, these are the tenets we will live by. And those tenets become guidelines for anything that organization does in the future. That is very helpful and brings everyone together, because then all departments starts talking in same language, right? So that is how you can, get everyone together and create that collaboration. So coming to your second question about, specifically about tackling with different line of businesses and how the having a customer centric approach to device strategies. My advice would be that have a strategy that is specific to different segments or different line of businesses. You cannot have a strategy which has one size fits all kind of arrangement. It has to be customizable, right? It is specific to the line of business. For example, where you have niche areas, right? You can tackle it differently. But where you have mass buying, you can tackle it differently. I always talk about this strategy. Why we call it bionic strategy, and this is bionic means it is combination of two words, biology and electronics, and it simply means biology inspired engineering. And if you in the terms of strategy, if you adopt it, that means human and technology working together, which can generate superhuman results, right? So having a right mix of human and technology in your strategy is the right approach. And you can, for example, high ASP products where, customer wants to be involved, not only in the buying journey, but also once the product is purchased, you can have greater degree of human intervention in your processes. But where it's a basic product where customer will not have many questions, it will not need much assistance, you can have more technology driven approach and less human centric approach. So a right mix you can have in every line of business, and follow the bionic strategy, which is have human and technology working together, not as different elements, and have a right mix, a perfect blend that suits your line of business.
Okay, so you were talking about the right mix between AI and human. So how do you leverage like this newest innovation that comes, for example, like we are more and more leaning towards AI. So how do you integrate those things to the point where you don't, exclude some of your customers so that they may feel like, AI, this new thing is too much for me, I'm not used to this. So how do you actually manage that? How do you take those innovations at hand? Because it's kind of a double-edged sword at the end of the day, because you will get new customers when you implement something. You will lose customers as well, because they'll be like, this company is going in a direction that I don't like. So how do you actually balance that?
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg situation, really. But I think as a company, you need to balance it. You cannot really ignore the newest technologies, right? because I personally feel that it is going in a very positive direction, where technology is actually helping brands to do lot of things faster and in a more efficient way. So brands should think of adopting technology, but not at the cost of customer inconvenience. So there has to be a right balance. The strategy that I would advise is give in your customer journeys, when it is very technology driven journey, give option to customer to opt at any time in the journey to reach out to somebody who is human, and not so that customer doesn't feel that customer is trapped in a specific journey and not able to move to or switch to other channel. It should be seamless, right, for customers. Customer in fact shouldn't get to know that there is a switch in channel. It should be very seamless. It's called omni-channel strategy. That is, I think, the best. And when you, so this is to be done when you are experimenting. And when your experimentation phase is over, analyze that data to see whether it is actually working in favor of customer or not. If your data suggests that yes, it is, more and more customers are happy, your CSATs have improved, I think this is the way to go, then you make a decision to implement it permanently. Keep it in an experimentation phase. For example, in one of the companies, we also took CSAT of the chatbot, right? So CSAT of the bot. When bot is solving the problem, are customers satisfied? So we used to, take, bot used to take survey that, are you satisfied with my resolution? So if the, and we monitor that data in the initial phase, we monitor that data every day to see if the customer satisfaction is intact. And if not, for the use cases where CSAT was going down because customer was not happy with bot giving a resolution, we took those use cases off the chatbot queue and we analyzed it further and made the changes that were required. And then brought them back in the queue. So that's how you can do. You cannot implement everything in one go. So take it's called honeycomb approach, right? Small step at a time, right? And take small initiatives. And when it is successful, move to next. When it is successful, move to next. If you fail, learn from it and make changes to probably make it successful again. So yeah. That's all.
Just to add up on the question, because I've seen instances, for example, KFC does this marketing thing that they do on Instagram, where they're using lots of like this new age memes, which would ostracize pretty much anyone over the age of like 30 or 35. And their chief marketing officer has explicitly come out and said that, especially for platforms like Instagram, we are not concentrating on any of this, like, older people and stuff. So it's like an extreme approach to those things. Could it be feasible as well in your view? Like an extreme approach, like just targeting one demographic, we don't care about these other people. So is that feasible on some ends, maybe, in your viewpoint?
Yeah, of course, why not? See, it is not about ignoring other people. It is about targeting certain set of people, right?
Yes.
And if memes, etc., excites certain set of people,
yes,
why not, right? Mm. But important is to see the outcome of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Did it help? What did it meet the objective? What the brand wanted to do with that marketing activity? If it met, then they should do it again with that set of cohort, right? That set of customers, right? So I wouldn't say it is ignoring the rest of the customers, but yeah, you can always do it for. So, for example, HNI customers. You can identify HNI customers from your data. You can put an algorithm and ask customers to tell me the set of HNIs in my customer base. And then you can run a separate program for those HNI customers also. I have done it in my past tense. where we actually introduce relationship managers for HNI customers. And these relationship managers are like in the bank, you have relationship managers. If you have any problem, you can reach out to them. In a similar fashion, these relationship managers were assigned. But in addition to that, what these relationship managers were doing were also tracking their order journey end to end. And they would correct the problem before customer, you know, would get to know about the problem. So they were making the order journey very streamlined for those HNI customers, and also would, you know, gently give a nudge to buy, give early access to the sale that we would have, right? So this RM model for HNI was a program that we did, right? So it was only targeting one set of customer, and those customer benefited from this program. Similarly, you know, you can do it for other set of customers, and it is a right way to do it also. Like I said, that you need to have, you know, different approaches for different set of customers for a better outcome.
Moving a little more to the current trends that's happening, we see e-commerce industry these days have leveraged GenAI, AR technologies to enhance their customer experience. Like a good example would be how Amazon Myntra puts up a concise summary of the whole customer reviews. Even I've seen Lenskart come up with that AR technology that helps me try my frames even before I strike a purchase of it.
Right.
So, and you know, particularly in fashion industry, how can these technologies be used to enhance customer experience? And if yes, then what are the challenges that potentially could come up and how do we address them?
Right, so there are many. So fashion industry, not from today, I think when this whole artificial intelligence came into play, fashion industry adopted some of it, starting with recommendation itself, right? Recommendation, a very robust recommendation engine can be built if you have AI, if you use AI. When you're buying from a site, from a platform, your buying behavior is known, right? What products you like, what products you don't like, you don't buy. Everything is recorded. Your how many orders, how many, what is the, you know, business you have given to the organization. Every data is available. Even your color choices, the size that you wear, you know, everything is available to AI. AI can pick all that data and make a very near accurate recommendation to you, right? And all the e-commerce companies are using very robust recommendation engine. If you buy a dress for yourself, the next recommendation that you will get will be for shoes or for purse, and which will be very close to your liking. Mm-hmm. Right? So that is one use case that has been there for fashion industry where AI is being used. Then the AI powered chatbots are any which ways there implemented, and now with generative AI chat powered chatbots are more human like, right? You can make it more contextual, and chatbot, you will not feel that you're talking to a bot, but that is it is in transition. I think we have to see where it goes. It is still in the experimentation stage. But yeah, AI-powered chatbots are there. It's also AI, use of AI, right? Many other things that you can do in supply chain area, you can do a lot through AI. Your warehouse management, inventory management, route optimization, everything, lot of things you can use, you can do, you know, with the use of AI. So in the e-commerce space, AI has been used to optimize supply chain operations like never before. So use of AI has been there. So a lot of use case that we can talk about. In customer service, like you were saying, concise summary of customer feedback. Now it is possible when customer service agent is talking to the customer, at the end of the call, he or she doesn't need to type the conversation notes. AI can generate the notes and append it in the CRM itself, right? So this is a very newest use case that has come. Okay, another less talked about use case in the retail operations is, you know, when you have to open a new retail outlet, which location to choose, will you get the footfall or not, you know, whether we open it in mall or we open it in, you know, somewhere else. All these questions were earlier manually researched, right? Now with the use of AI, AI will recommend you the right location for you to open your next retail store. So a lot of retail companies, online retail companies are using AI to actually narrow down the choices so the team can only focus on few and give a better result. So these are some of the AI led use cases that are happening in the industry.
So moving on, could you share any instances from your previous work experience at Tata Click, Yatra and Pepperfry? Because I recall you saying that you did join them when they were relatively a startup company. So what has been like any success story or like any significant one that has been in your mind and you would like to share?
Yeah, there are many success stories, but I think establishing tenets of customer experience at every organization, I would call it a biggest success, because then it gives guidance for everyone to work in one direction. In terms of projects, one project I have already talked about on emotional intelligence, where we, basis the customer persona, we customized our responses. That was also one of the success stories. A very big, huge success that I personally feel is to build a system for a frontline agent and build a robust system for a frontline agent. We often discount the need of it in our, you know, roadmap, customer experience roadmap, and we work on improving policies and processes, but we discount the fact that frontline needs a very robust system. So when customer is calling, agent should be able to see all the information in one page in a very concise manner, so that navigation is easier and agent can navigate quickly and give the information to the customer. You know, the whole reason why customer is calling is because customer is unable to find that information online, right? So agent has to be empowered more and enable more than online in terms of having information availability. So we implemented a very good system for our frontline agent, and it was a very big rollout in our contact center. We built the system for frontline agent, and we said frontline agent is our customer. We are delivering a system to frontline agents, and the inputs were, during the process, inputs were taken from the agent to build that system. After, you know, implementing that system, our first time resolution saw a huge jump. All other metric of customer service saw a huge jump because we took care of employee experience, agent experience, right? So that was, I think, the very big highlight of my career, of implementing a system which helped improve employee experience, and hence it improved customer experience.
Right. So I'll bring back one concept that we discussed in the beginning. We spoke about customer listening, right? So could you share another success story where customer listening actually helped improve or develop a product or service?
Sure. Like I said, customer listening is very integral part of all customer experience strategies. This has to be embedded in every part of your initiatives. If you're not listening to your customer very regularly, there are chances that you miss, you know, a very important feedback, and you don't integrate that with your customer experience strategy. So in terms of giving an example, right, we implemented a lot of processes basis customer feedback, that but one is that is a highlight for me and I would like to share. This is a process that we implemented, and we call it and on cord process. It is inspired, Amazon follows it, but it is inspired from Toyota, where in the manufacturing unit of Toyota, where they had the plant, if in the assembly line there is an issue with any point, the workers there were empowered to pull the cord and stop the assembly line. The objective was very simple, that you stop the problem right there so that it doesn't happen to other products. So taking inspiration from them, we implemented this process where we realized that customers, when they are getting a wrong product, right, again when placing an order, getting again a wrong product is an issue that we need to solve. And how we can solve it? If we can pull the cord, which means delist that product from the website at the right stage and list it again once the product portfolio is corrected, right? So we implemented this process at our contact center, where if the contact center agent is realizing that there is a wrong listing on the site, right, we empowered agents to pull the cord, which means delist the product right there, so that no other customer faces the same issue again, right? And then it goes to the backend to correct the product, and there's a tag to make it live on the website again. But this is one of the very good project that we did, which helped us in ensuring that we have done the mistake once, but we don't repeat it again, and the customer doesn't suffer again. So that's one highlight that I would like to share, which was purely basis customer listening.
Okay, so these reviews that you receive from customer would be from multiple platforms, and considering how social media is growing and how we have multiple apps and even multiple sites to list customer reviews, how do you see customer listening has evolved over time, and has there been any implications as such? If yes, then how can this be solved?
Right, so with that, with social media booming literally, right, customer listening has become even more important, because a simple post can go viral, and a lot of people, it gives visibility to a lot of people, and then the brand reputation is at stake. So customer listening has evolved over a period of time. Like I said earlier, it was just manual screening of the reviews that you're getting. So you could only do sample size. You could, whatever the bandwidth allows, you can read manually and, create a manual report. With the advent of AI, it has made possible to actually analyze large set of data. So you can use AI ML to go through, analyze the reviews, customer reviews, and give a meaningful output. Right, so that is the second phase. Now with technology even more improving, you can analyze this in seconds on real time basis, and the reports can be available on your dashboard, which gives the real time insights. One example that we use is if customer is irate, and this is for the contact center again giving the example. If customer is irate, simple. Our system can actually catch and give an alert to team leader that customer is irate, go and help that agent, right? So on a real-time basis, you're listening to customer, right? So it is evolving, it is like ever-evolving area, right? And a lot of changes has happened. And social media has added a lot more complexity to it. Social media mentions it like publicly available. So you have to be very, very vigilant to address complaints that are coming on social media. Couple of advices: be fast on response, be fast on resolution, and focus on quality of resolution as well, right? And if you do that, I think since it is publicly available, brand can gain more trust, because then not only the customer who has complained, also other people who are reading it on social media gets the sense that this brand is serious about their customers, right? So that's how you can manage the whole social media listening piece as well.
So ma'am, lastly, we have a question from the students. Actually, this is a question that many students ask, and I also wondered. And it's a question that I would like to ask any business leader, any CEO, CFO, or CXO. It's that if you had an unlimited budget, what kind of project would you pursue? What would you actually like to do for a company if you had unlimited budget, whether it be an R&D or any of those things? What kind of project would you pursue if you had unlimited budget?
I would really wish that I get unlimited budget. But yes, if there's an unlimited budget, right, I will probably invest a lot on customer research, right? Like I said, I'm a big fan of, getting into psychological analysis of customer conversations. So we'll spend a lot of budget there to get the outcome, to understand, really understand the customers better. Very heavy investment on technology for sure, right? Would experiment a lot on the new things that are coming up. That will give me some budget availability to do experiments, right? And do experiments, try some POCs, so that it will be clear to us what we can take in our roadmap, what we cannot take in our roadmap. So two things, customer research and technology. And if I have unlimited budget, I can also wish for seamless customer experience, which is like just customer, they come, they buy, they shop, and they are always happy. If I can do something for that, create magical moment in every touch point, is something that I would really gun for.
So no negative reviews, just buy off all the negative reviews?
I would definitely wish for that.
Yeah.
But negative reviews should be looked at, I would say, positively. Because if this is an opportunity to learn from the mistake, it is an opportunity to do better. So it will only help the company to be better and give enhance customer experience.
Okay. That's a very interesting answer. I always like to rack the brains of, like, you know, global leaders, business leaders, just to see what's going on in their mind if they had unlimited power. So I actually like that you actually went into research, and not something like I would take the money for myself if you had unlimited budget. So that was actually a very unexpected answer.
I wouldn't say that.
So yeah, lastly, to end the podcast, is there anything you would like to say about yourself, apart from your business side, your hobbies, or any recommendations that you would give to us, or like any of the students here, or to any of our viewers and listeners?
Right. So starting from hobby, right? I apart from what I do, very passionate customer experience professional. I like to work with NGOs. I like to spend some time in social sector. I'm associated with two NGOs, working with very noble cause with both of them. I am in a learning phase, but I kind of helping them in creating a structure, because I come from corporate. So some frameworks and structures are known to me. So I'm helping them. So that is another passion that I have. In terms of advice to all of you here in I am Vishakhapatnam, I think I said it to the students earlier also, if you are passionate about something, your career will take you in that direction automatically, because it's like, there's a saying, right? The universe conspires for you. So if you're passionate about something, you will be taken in that direction automatically. Some students were saying that they are not sure if they want to go in a specific area, and what if their interest is not there, and later on they found out that they don't want to pursue this, right? Don't worry about that, right? And whatever you know right now, plan basis that, and you will be taken to whatever you want to do, you're passionate about, in its own course in the future. So don't worry that much about your career, would be my advice. But I am from a very old generation, you guys are Gen Zs, you are more aware, information is available, right? You can get more advice and guidance from, you know, information availability online or from the career coaches. But my advice would be that do whatever you're passionate about, and if you need to change later on, it will automatically get routed to that direction.
It's really lovely how someone at the level of CXO still tries to contribute to the society by being a part of NGO, instills the fact that even we as students should put in as much as we can to contribute to the society, and we will definitely keep in mind that we should be curious, and the fact that be passionate and your career will take you towards your passion. With that, we close this episode. Thank you so much for being here, taking your time out of your busy schedule and being a part of Viewport. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here and really enjoyed having conversation with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.